From the studios of Tucson Business Radio X, recorded in the Stewart Title corporate offices on Broadway, you are now listening to The Mark Bishop Show. And now here's your host, Mark Bishop.
Well, January is Birth Defects Awareness Month, and the fact is that one in every 33 babies is born with a birth defect. That's the downside. The upside, or should I say, better news, is that fetal surgery can save and improve the lives of thousands of children worldwide. Now, my special guest today is Scott Adzik, MD and Surgeon-in-Chief at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Pioneering fetal surgeon Dr. Scott Adzik specializes in treating these babies' unique needs, and he's taken time out for the Mark Bishop Show. And Dr. Advanced Technology for Fetal Surgery can help save and better the lives of many children worldwide. Welcome, Doctor. Thanks for taking time out for us today.
Thanks for having me on the show.
You know, the birth of a child is a joyous occasion for an entire family. But for the families of more than 150,000 American babies born with a birth defect each year, however, it also brings fear and uncertainty.
Right. Well, this January is Birth Defects Awareness Month, so it's a few key points. You mentioned one in every 33 babies is born with a birth defect, so they're amazingly common. Birth defects are costly. Billions of dollars are required for medical treatment. Birth defects are merciless. No parent is immune, and they're mysterious. Most causes of birth defects are unknown. They're overlooked, in my view. Research is underfunded, and they're deadly. Birth defects are the most common cause of infant death.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
Well, there are thousands of different types, apparently, of birth defects. And while there's been a lot of research to advance our knowledge, as you say, there's still a lot of unknown areas. Families are often aware of unavailable treatment. Is early treatment a key, doctor, do you think?
Yeah, so I'm a pediatric surgeon. So in the 1980s, my colleagues and I were frustrated in taking care of babies with life-threatening birth defects in which there was progressive organ damage before birth, and that when the baby was born, we were too late and the baby would die from a simple anatomic birth defect that seemed to be fixable surgically. But the end organ damage was already done. So we did work in fetal sheep and fetal monkeys to develop techniques to correct life-threatening birth defects before birth. And now it's an established clinical specialty, and I can give you a few examples if you'd like.
By all means.
So two examples that I'll talk about will be twin-twin transfusion syndrome treated by fetoscopic laser therapy, and the other is fetal spina bifida repair. So for twin-twin transfusion, the setup is this, Mark. They're identical twins, each in their own amniotic sac within the uterus, and as opposed to each of the twins having their own placenta, the crucial blood vascular hookup with the mother, they have a shared placenta such that there are abnormal blood vessels crossing from one side of the placenta to the other, and one twin gets too much blood and goes into heart failure and produces an excess of amniotic fluid, and the other twin doesn't get enough blood, goes into kidney failure, doesn't produce amniotic fluid and becomes stuck in the amniotic membranes. And those twins will go on to die unless you put a fetoscope, a little endoscope, into the uterus through the mother's abdominal wall, through the uterine wall, visualize the placenta, and use a fetoscopic laser fiber to photocoagulate those culprit blood vessels with very, very good results. In most cases, we can save both twins. The second example is fetal surgery for spina bifida. Now, what's spina bifida? Well, that's a birth defect that occurs very early in gestation, 4 to 6 weeks, and the normal coverings around the spinal cord don't form such that the spinal cord is exposed with the attendant nerves before birth. And we've learned that the amniotic fluid environment, which is mostly fetal urine, is very toxic, particularly during the third trimester, to those exposed nerves. And babies with spina bifida who are treated after birth, those are the kids who can't walk or are wheelchair-bound, may have hydrocephalus, may require a shunt tube to drain fluid from the brain. And it's not truly a life-or-death birth defect, but it's a devastating one. So we've learned and had developed the techniques beginning about 20 years ago to repair this before birth to prevent any ongoing damage, and have shown definitively that babies who are appropriately selected for fetal surgery will have much much better outcomes, much higher likelihood of being able to walk and have more normal motor function, and also a strikingly decreased incidence in hydrocephalus or fluid on the brain and a decreased need for a shunt tube. And we have good long-term follow-up now that extends to the teenage years. So those are just two examples of fetal surgery.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, many babies each year are born with birth defects. In fact, research, 150,000? I mean, would that be correct, doctor?
Yeah, when you do the math, it's about 4 million births a year in the U.S., and you do the math, 1 in 33, it works out to about 150,000 babies. And, you know, some are quite serious birth defects. Some are incompatible with life, and others are mild. And for the most part, we'll evaluate at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia in our Center for Fetal Diagnosis and Treatment about 2,000 mothers this coming year carrying babies with serious birth defects, but only really about 10% will require fetal surgery. Most can be managed after birth, usually with a delivery in our special delivery unit here at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, so that the team can promptly confirm the diagnosis and institute treatment, which is usually surgical.
So which types of conditions can be helped by having surgery while the baby is still in the womb? Are they the things you covered before?
So we mentioned twin-twin transfusion and spina bifida. There are certain heart defects that we can treat with catheters before birth to improve heart function. There's a problem called congenital diaphragmatic hernia, where there's just a hole in the diaphragm muscle, usually on the left, and all the intestine goes up into the chest and compresses the developing lungs. And in severe cases, the lungs aren't big enough for the baby to survive, so we have a way to treat that. There are certain babies that have lung tumors that are, when they're large, they squish the heart and cause heart failure, and we can take those out before birth, or treat them with maternal steroids, which causes them to stop growing. Then there are babies that have fetuses that have tumors that grow off the tailbone called sacrococcygeal teratomas, and when they're very large, they can cause heart failure because of the large blood supply to the tumor. We can resect those before birth. There are babies with urinary tract obstruction that can destroy the developing kidneys and lungs. We can treat those with catheters placed percutaneously through the mother's abdomen. Things of that sort.
Well, how rare is fetal surgery? And how many fetal surgeries have been done in the world, do you think?
Well, we estimated a couple of years ago about 4,000, and we've done about a quarter of them. Now we just looked at our statistics, and we've done about 2,000 fetal surgeries. So obviously worldwide, it must be more than 4,000. And that's spreading. And we have a group called the North American Fetal Therapy Network that we founded in 2004. And now there are 36 participating fetal therapy centers in North America. And we've also, in Europe, we've trained centers in London and Belgium, in Poland, and in Switzerland with these techniques, and also trained teams in Asia. But the future is very bright for cellular and for gene therapy. Would you like to hear about that?
Yeah, well, I will. I just want to remind the folks we're speaking with Dr. Scott Adzik. He's the Surgeon-in-Chief at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And, in fact, he's the Director of the Hospital Center for Fetal Diagnosis and Treatment. It's the largest and most comprehensive fetal program in the world, having welcomed expectant mothers from all 50 states and more than 50 countries. You do a fabulous job there, Doctor. What is the expected long-term outcome for babies who do undergo fetal surgery?
It's actually quite good. For birth defects such as spina bifida, it's not a cure, we're just helping function. For twin-twin transfusion, we can usually save both twins, for example. For other life-threatening conditions, if they're appropriately selected, the results are quite good. And we have good long-term follow-up now since we've been doing this for a couple of decades.
Just a question a little bit out of left field. I mean, you'd have to have, what is it? It's not nerves of steel. I mean, emotion-wise, doesn't it tear you apart a little? I mean, your role is a very delicate role, isn't it?
Well, yeah. So we have a lot of support for the families. For example, if a mother comes to us with a known fetus with spina bifida and maybe as a fetal surgery candidate, it's a 2-day evaluation process, which also involves psychological support. And if need be, since our patients come from around the country, from around the world, financial support as well with regard to places to stay, like the Ronald McDonald House, and in support of that sort. We like to sort of form a cocoon around the mother and the family because it is a very stressful.
By the sounds of things, the future for fetal surgery is good.
I think so. Things we're working on now, I'll mention three. One is in utero stem cell transplantation of blood-forming cells to the fetus, say, with sickle cell anemia, which can be diagnosed by 10 weeks or so in high-risk families. Those cells would come from the mother, for bone marrow-forming stem cells. Those cells, in theory, based on our animal work, would be accepted by the fetus after injection because the fetus is pre-immune and won't reject them. And those cells should engraft and take over the missing red blood cell function that sickle cell anemia patients have. So that's one example of cellular therapy. And Dr. Alan Flake has been working on this. He's one of the pediatric surgeons here for the last 30 years. And so that's ready for clinical health. A second example, Dr. William Pronto, who's another one of the pediatric surgical scientists here, is working in animal models on in utero gene editing using CRISPR technology, with the concept being that there's an entire panoply of prenatally diagnosable genetic birth defects that could be, in a highly selected manner, treated before birth with in utero gene editing. That is not ready for clinical prime time, but I think will eventually be once we're assured that it's safe and there are no ill consequences based on the animal work. The third area is we've developed, Dr. Alan Flake, Dr. Marcus Davey, Dr. Emily Partridge have developed an artificial womb in fetal sheep who are too premature to survive. And you can hook up their umbilical vessels just like in utero to a circuit with an oxygenator, and they're inside this fluid-filled environment. And we've shown that they can have normal growth and development for 4 to 5 weeks. So the concept here, again, not quite ready for clinical prime time, but getting quite close, is that you would treat babies born way too soon, 23, 24, 25 weeks gestation, where the mortality rate is high and those who survive have a lot of complications. If they could just have 4 to 5 more weeks in utero in this artificial womb, then the outcomes would be much better. So that's very exciting.
Isn't it? By gee, you guys create miracles, don't you, the whole team? By the way, folks, if this really interests you, you can have a look at fetalsurgery.chop.edu. I'm sure there's a lot of good reading in there. Fetal surgery, fetalsurgery.chop.edu. And, you know, since 1995, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia has performed over 1,400 fetal surgeries on babies with prenatally diagnosed birth defects. You know, you're an innovator, doctor, in fetal medicine since the field's inception. You've dedicated your career to the pursuit of groundbreaking prenatal treatment for birth defects, and you've made pioneering contributions to fetal surgery. And today you continue to explore cutting-edge treatment options. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us before you go?
Well, a couple things. First of all, there are potentially many other birth defects that may benefit from fetal intervention. So we're exploring these treatments. And that's the focus of much of our basic laboratory research, as you've heard, for gene therapy and stem cell transplants and the artificial womb. But it takes time and rigorous scientific investigation to reach the point where we can confidently offer a prenatal therapy to patients. On the other end, having done this for so long, it is truly inspiring see so many children who, as babies, likely could have died now running around and growing up healthy and strong. What could be better than that?
That's right. How wonderful a feeling it must be for you. Do moms bring them back a little later to talk to you and to introduce you to the little ones?
Oh, of course. Well, we have a family reunion. That's an important cue. Each year, it's first Sunday in June, a day of celebration. Last year, we had 2,800 people attend.
Oh, isn't that great? Families. Well, you do a wonderful job. I just thank you for the work you do and will continue to do in our future. And, you know, the poor little ones, they just need a chance in life, don't they? They need a start. And it's Dr. Scott Adzik, people like him who are making this happen. He's the surgeon in chief at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and the director of the Hospital Center for Fetal Diagnosis and Treatment. And that is, Doctor, isn't it? It's the largest and most comprehensive fetal program in the world that you have there.
Yes, we're very lucky, but since imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, there are many other centers now in North America and throughout the world, which reaches ever greater number of patients.
Well, that's good. It's growing, but you know, you've been around and you're helping to teach, and you know, your good work goes on everywhere, so that's good. Thank you so much for taking this time out. Am I correct with this website? There's a lot on that for people to go to.
Yes, fetalsurgery.shop.edu.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you, Doctor. Have a
thank
great
you.
Year, won't you? 2020. Thank you for all the wonderful work that you do.
Thank you.
All right. Dr. Scott Adzik, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, what a wow. I mean, talk about satisfaction in your job, huh? Satisfaction in the work that you do. How would you feel? Absolutely amazing. You heard him here on The Mark Bishop Show.